Habakkuk chapter 2. We'll read from verses 1 through 4, but we'll consider particularly the second portion of verse 4. By reminder, Habakkuk cries out to the Lord against the fact that the Lord is raising up an army against the people of Judah, the Babylonians. And the Lord declares this to him, and Habakkuk cries out and asks for the Lord to speak a word of comfort. And so the Lord, Habakkuk, in waiting upon the Lord in verse 1 of our chapter, then in verses 2 through 4, the Lord does begin by speaking a word of comfort to his people and of instruction. And then in the remainder of the chapter, the Lord speaks his word of judgment upon the wicked. But we'll consider particularly the second portion of verse 4. So let us be attentive to the reading of God's word now from Habakkuk 2. This is the holy word of the Almighty God. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And these are the particular words we will consider this evening. The just shall live by his faith. Let us pray and seek the Lord's blessing. Almighty God, we thank you for your word as it has been read, and now we pray that you would bless the preaching of it. God, that you would call sinners to yourself, to faith in Jesus Christ, and that you would build up your church and sanctify those who are in Christ. Grant to us, Almighty God, an assurance of our salvation and a desire and fervency to continue to walk in perseverance, looking to the promise which you have given, that it will surely come to pass. Your word is unfailing. And so, God, we pray for blessing upon the preaching of your word, the truth that the truth would come forth, that the just shall live by his faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we consider the great need that we have, we're convicted that, like Habakkuk, we often think that the great need we have is deliverance from a trouble that we may experience in this life. But the Lord reminds us in his word that the great deliverance which we need is the deliverance from our sin and from his wrath. And so we find that the just, that is those who are justified, those who are declared righteous, are not declared righteous by their works, but by faith, and by faith alone. That the word of God that he has given is sure and certain, that it shall not lie, but rather it shall speak, that the Lord's word will go forth. And so we will consider this, that the just shall live by his faith, and we'll consider these three points. First, we must consider the doctrine of justification, the truth of how God declares sinners righteous. Second, we'll consider the life of the justified. And then third, the means of justification. How is it that we are declared righteous? We'll see first in this text the doctrine of justification, the teaching, the truth of how God declares sinners righteous. It says, but the just. But the just shall live by his faith. There is a division among all peoples into two groups. There are those who remain in their sins. It says earlier in this verse, but his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. There are those who remain in their sins and are not upright, are not righteous before God. And indeed, this is the state of all by our nature, that we are given, accounted, imputed with Adam's sin. And so that we are sinners before the holy God, enemies of wrath, children of wrath. And so there are those who are not upright, but there are those who are justified. There are those who are called just. And that is reserved for only those who believe upon Jesus Christ. And so though we live in a world that loves to tear apart everything into various demographics, the scriptures only give us two. There are those who are not upright, those who are not justified, and then there are those who are in Christ, who are justified. And apart from these categories, eternally speaking, there is no other distinction. Either a man or a woman remains in union with Adam, or by God's grace, through faith, is brought into union with Christ. Our Lord Jesus said that there on the last day, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, He would sit upon His throne in glory. Before Him would be gathered all nations, and He shall separate all of the peoples one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set His sheep on His right hand, and the goats upon the left. There are only sheep and goats. Those who are in union with Adam, those who are in union with Christ. But what does it mean then to be among the just? What does it mean to be justified, to be declared righteous? Well, it does not mean that we are righteous on our own works. Our words, thoughts, deeds, affections, and inclinations of our heart are ridden with sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. And yet, we may be called rightly just, justified, declared righteous before God. And so the Heidelberg Catechism expounds upon this truth by asking, how are you righteous before God? The answer, only by true faith in Jesus Christ. Even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all of God's commandments, of never having kept any of them, and of still being inclined toward all evil, nevertheless, without any merit of my own, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. As if I had never sinned, nor had been a sinner. And as if I had been perfectly obedient, as Christ was obedient for me. If only I accept this gift with a believing heart. Our sins must be dealt with. We deserve, because of our sins, death. The wages, the well-earned reward of sin is death. And God's wrath. Our sins must be dealt with. And so sins were dealt with upon the cross. That Christ died for the sins of all who look to Him by faith. Of all who believe upon Him by faith. All who the Father has given Him. He died for all their sins upon the cross. He shed His blood. He took the Father's wrath upon Himself on the cross. And so we may truly be justified. This is so wonderfully illustrated in the scriptures in Genesis 48. When Joseph took his sons Ephraim and Manasseh, he took Ephraim in his right hand toward Jacob's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and he brought them near unto him. And Israel, that is Jacob, stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, knowingly, knowing what he was doing. For Manasseh was the firstborn. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand And he removed it, or to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. God the Father took that blessing which Christ was reserved for Christ in his obedience. And instead of giving it to the Son, He laid upon him on the cross the wrath which we deserve. And in his place, he took his hand of blessing and he puts it upon those who believe upon Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And so it says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we might have for ourselves, clothed upon ourselves, made for ourselves, the righteousness of God, which is not of works, or else it would not be of grace. But it is by grace, it is by unmerited favor, that we may be called justified, that the just, that we may be among those who are just, united in Christ. And so we must examine ourselves in light of God's word. Are you in right standing before the Lord? Are you resting and receiving Christ's righteousness through faith? Do you take God at His word? As Abraham believed God's word and it was counted to him righteousness, are you in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And we may have a true assurance of our salvation and of our justification. The Lord Jesus said that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That God has proclaimed his promise in his word that we who call upon the Lord for the forgiveness of our sins are indeed forgiven. And so, dear Christian, such an assurance is the greatest blessing that we should pursue and may by God's grace receive on the Lord's Day. On the Sabbath, we rest from our common work and recreations of the other 6 days of the week. We come on the Sabbath to the marketplace of the soul. We come to meet with our God and to worship Him. And the Sabbath is an anticipation of our heavenly rest. And the greatest blessing that we can receive on the Sabbath is to rest in Christ and the assurance of our pardon in Him. We just sang from God's word in Psalm 32, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. A dear Christian, what is the greatest day, or what is the greatest delight and greatest rest of the Lord's day is that we should rest in Christ. A physical rest is a great grace that God gives us on the Lord's day, that we may have some physical rest apart from our common work and recreations. But the greatest rest that we may have, the greatest joy and strength which would cause us to persevere throughout the week is to know that God has forgiven us of our sins. And so when you come to the worship of God, when you come to hear the preaching of God's word, we must prayerfully anticipate, God, would you give me such an assurance of my standing in Christ this day? And anticipate that God would do that very thing through His word, through the preaching of His law and of His gospel, that you afresh would be reminded of your standing in Christ and have great delight and enjoy in Him, that you know that truly secured for you is everlasting life by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we have the doctrine of justification set before us, that God gives to sinners freely of His grace through faith by looking to Him. By His grace, He gives us the righteousness of His Son. And so we have the doctrine of justification. Secondly, consider from this verse the life of the justified. It says that the just shall live. The just shall live. And here we may think in two ways, of a future certainty and of a present imperative. There is a future certainty that we who are in Christ shall live for eternity with the Lord. That we who are clothed in the righteousness of Christ have that wedding garment required for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19, 7 through 8, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Heidelberg Catechism 58, how doth the article concerning life everlasting comfort you? Well, even as I already now experience in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, so after this life I will have perfect blessedness such as no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor heart has ever imagined. A blessedness in which to praise God eternally. A Christian, there is a future certainty that the just shall live. We shall have everlasting life. God has written our names in His book that we should stand before Him, not being looked upon for our sin, but the righteousness of Christ. The just shall live. It is a future certainty, but it is also a present imperative. We live in this life by faith. By relying not upon our works, but upon our Savior. And that this faith is worked out, is demonstrated, is evidenced in our obedience to the Lord. We are not saved by our works. We are saved by God's grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But our faith is demonstrated, is shown outwardly that justification is followed by sanctification. We are not identified with our sins. When we are justified, we are no longer identified by our sins. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God, who loved me, who gave Himself for me. We are not identified with our sins. We rather put off our sins, and we put on the righteousness of Christ. It says in Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so, being justified, we shall be sanctified. Obedience is the fruit of faith. Recall in Romans 4, which we just read, that Abraham was justified by faith. But he evidenced his faith in obedience to God. That he left that land, which was his home, and he wandered as a sojourner and a pilgrim, looking not to a physical country, but to that heavenly country which God hath prepared for him. He believed God's promise of the sending of Christ, and the redeeming for himself a people from all nations, so that Abraham did by faith, along with his wife Sarah, conceive of that child the seed of Abraham, from whom would come Christ. And so faith leads us to obedience. As our confession says, faith is the receiving and resting on Christ and His righteousness. It is the alone instrument of justification, yet it is not alone in the person justified, but is ever accompanied with all other saving graces, and is no dead faith, but worketh by love. And so it is commonly summarized that we are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. And we consider this even in light of the ordinary manner of the Christian life. There are times where we may be tempted to think that we, like Abraham, must just drop everything. But the life of the just does not necessarily take an extraordinary vocation, but rather it informs the way that we go about all things common. In other words, the just man is no more sanctified for being devoted every minute to some church activity or ministry, but rather it is the Word of God instructing him and informing him in the way that we live faithfully, quietly, and humbly, going about all duties, whether it is common duties in the home, in the family, in our workplace, being a godly man, a godly woman, a godly boy, a godly girl. Not only in things common, but in things holy, in our holy duty of worshiping God in public and in private and in our families, that the just shall live by his faith. That we continue to be instructed, looking not to ourselves, but to the Lord Christ and being transformed, the renewing of our minds and seeking God's will, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so, dear Christian, as we consider that the just shall live by faith, let us delight in considering our hope in heaven, particularly on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is an anticipation of our heavenly rest, and what a wonderful privilege and duty that we have to cast our minds upon the fact that we are pilgrims and sojourners in this world, looking to that better country like our father Abraham. That we would have a comfort in the midst of our afflictions and in our sufferings, our bodies groaning for the resurrection. That we would have a right view of this life, even on our prosperity. That all things are checked, that we would have a joy in the Lord. That we would have comfort in the Lord. That we would have a deeply rooted joy. The Lord's Day is a wonderful day, that we may have joy in the Lord. And that we may particularly dwell upon that, being filled with faith in the Lord, being confirmed in our faith in the Lord and His Word. And so let us delight in considering these holy things on this holy day. And let us walk in faithfulness to the Lord our God. We are to continue to live our life with constancy in faith, being instructed by the Word of God, trusting His blessing upon our obedience, trusting our salvation being in Him. We are to walk day by day, living by faith, not by sight, but looking to Christ, seeking to obey the will of God. For God's commands are not burdensome. His yoke is easy. His burden is light, and He calls us to Him. And so, dear Christian, walk in faithfulness to the Lord your God. What is the means of justification? We have considered the doctrine of justification. We have considered the life of the justified. Consider now the means of justification, the instrument of justification. It is faith alone. How are we declared righteous? It is through faith alone. The just shall live by his faith. By his faith. Our works cannot save us. They cannot justify us. Such a person who is seeking to be just in his own works is contrasted here to the just man. It says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him." The one who is seeking to be upright in his own works. The one who in his own heart says, I am a good person. I am right before the Lord because I haven't done that bad of things. I'm not as bad as this other person. That person's soul is not upright before the Lord. But rather, the just shall live by his faith. It is by faith alone. You see, we are already guilty of the whole law. And God demands perpetual, perfect, personal obedience. And even our good works are filled with weakness and sin. We are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousness as filthy rags. Isaiah 64, verse 6. Our works cannot justify us, and so we are justified through faith alone. Romans 3:28 says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without or apart from the deeds of the law. Heidelberg Catechism 61 says, why do you say that through faith alone you are righteous? It is not because I please God by the worthiness of my faith. For only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness are my righteousness before God. And I can receive this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than by faith alone. Here we have the comfort of this doctrine. Faith is the means of justification. It is the instrument, the way in which God gives to us the righteousness of Christ. But the righteousness of Christ is the grounds of our justification. We are not justified. We are not declared righteous before God by the strength of our faith. Our faith may be weak. Your faith this day may be weak in the Lord. We are not justified by the strength of our faith. We cry out sometimes like the man in Mark 9, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And yet our God is sufficient and strong to save. God takes that weak faith and he encourages it. And he hears that cry. It is not because of the strength of our faith, but because of the satisfaction of Christ's blood that we are saved. We are not justified by the strength of our faith, but we are also not justified by the purity of our faith and life. We are not justified, as R.C. Sproul would often say, we are not justified by faith in the doctrine of justification by faith. Rather, it is because God has accounted to us the perfect obedience of Christ, who has died for our sins and rose for our justification. Nor is it the maturity of our faith, but because of the fullness of Christ that we are saved. And so the just shall live by his faith. And herein, dear beloved, Christ is truly and freely offered in the gospel. That he says that everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. He that hath no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Incline your ear to me. Come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. That you who see the guilt and misery of your sins, look to Jesus Christ and be saved. Look not to your own works, but look to the full satisfaction of the law of God and of the wrath of God that Jesus Christ has paid with his life, with his death, and with his resurrection, and be saved. And it must be your faith, dear Christian. It may not be the faith of another on your behalf, even you, dear children. For it says that the just shall live by his faith, that you must believe in Jesus Christ. You must confess him and trust and rest upon and receive his righteousness. And consider, dear Christian, the absolute faithfulness of God. Where it says in 2 Timothy that even if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. We know that there are times when our faith is weak. We know that there are times when we struggle and wrestle with our assurance of salvation, when we feel the despondency and despair of our sins. God is faithful. He knows those who are His, and He saves those who call out to Him and look to Him and plead the cause, not of their own righteousness, but Christ. And so continue to walk in such faith. Beware self-sufficiency and pride. And that leads to idolatrous complacency. Beware the faith or lack of faith that says, well, I've been walking with the Lord for so many years. I knew the Lord since I was a young child. I don't remember the day apart from the Lord. And so I'm just going to keep on walking. And eventually you find that you're looking to your own righteousness rather than Christ. Beware self-sufficiency. Beware pride. Look to Christ. Continue to rely upon Him. Even in the height of your sanctification, when you look at your life and you rejoice in the work of God, that He has saved you and that you are growing in grace, that you are fighting and overcoming sin, that you are experiencing and demonstrating the grace of God, continue to not look to your own righteousness, but give all praise to the Lord and rest upon Him. Hebrews 10 says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by his faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Oh, dear Christian, the just shall live by his faith. God knows those who are his, and so continue to cultivate your faith through the means of grace. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Continue to go to God and his word. Continue to look to the Lord as He's revealed Himself in the Scriptures. Cling to the promises of God. Sing His Word, that you would be mindful of the day, singing psalms, hymns, and songs. That is to say, the Word of Christ and the Psalms. That you would look to Him, be filled with the Word of Christ, continuing to grow and cultivate your faith in His promises. That He has done this. He has said upon the cross, "It is finished." And so He has done that work. He has obtained by His blood our redemption. And He does not impute the sins of those who call to Him by faith, but rather He gives to us the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so the Scriptures say, the just shall live by His faith. May God bless His word to us. Let us stand together for prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank You that indeed the just shall live by His faith. We pray, Lord, that we would delight in our salvation, which we have by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. We pray that we would look to His work of righteousness, His life, His death, His resurrection, that we would find no other salvation, for there is no other salvation. There is salvation by no other than the name of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we pray we would have faith, that we would continue in such faith, that we would look to You for our salvation, knowing that You have said that the just shall live by His faith. And so we pray Your blessing upon us throughout this week, that as we would conclude in this Lord's Day and in this time of worship, that You would continue to be near to Your people and cause us to walk not by sight, but by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.